Anything made out of plastic. Okay, very cool. Mine's not that great. Honestly, when I was thinking about this, I thought about one of the worst gifts I ever received. And it was a sweater that said angel on it. And it was like bedazzled with jewels. My grandma got it for me when I was in like elementary school. And I don't think she realized that it was a sweater for girls. Thankfully, my mom was like, no, we'll return that. You don't ever have to wear that. So one of the worst gifts I ever received was a sweater that said angel. One of the best gifts, I have a picture of it. I don't know, it might not have gotten up there, but it was an iPod. I think I've talked about it before. It was in eighth grade. I got an Apple iPod Nano. That was really cool technology at the time. It had like a little tiny 2-inch screen, and it could hold thousands of songs. And it was like the coolest thing when I was in middle school. One of the best gifts I ever received. We like to think about different gifts that we've received. And I'm sure if you had a little more time, all of you guys could think of maybe just one gift that was extra special that you received. But this morning we come to one of those places in the Bible that I think really helps us and kind of pushes us to think about a gift. And really one of the great gifts that every Christian receives and has access to. Spiritually speaking, it's without a doubt one of the greatest gifts that if you are a Christian, you will ever receive. And there are so many great gifts that a Christian receives. The greatest of all of those gifts is its salvation in Jesus Christ. It's knowing Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christians receive the free gift from God of eternal life knowing Christ. That's salvation, and that's the greatest gift there could ever be. But even with that new life, there's other amazing, incredible gifts that come into your life as a Christian, undeserved free gifts that God gives to you as a Christian. If you've become a Christian, you have now joy in your life. You have joy, a deep down peace and comfort because you know Christ, no matter what happens. If you're a Christian, you now have love in your life for other people where there was once anger and bitterness and hate all the time. Now you have a love for other people, a kindness, a care for people around you. That's an incredible gift. If you become a Christian, you also have the gift of gathering wisdom instead of being on the road of a foolish person. You now become somebody who starts to gain wisdom, and that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. If you're a Christian, you also have the gift of incredible hope that lasts forever. You find that even in the beginning of 1 Peter, where he talks about a hope that is imperishable and undefiled and will never fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You have a great hope that God gives you of a future with Christ forever. There's so many good gifts that God gives to a Christian, and we could spend the whole morning talking about those. But here in this passage, I think we find one of those great gifts, maybe one of the greatest gifts that you have if you are a Christian. And that is here in 1 Peter 5, the church. It is a passage of the Bible that reminds us about the gift of the church. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about really like just the big building or having like a really nice building that we can come to here on Sundays, and it's a great place to be. I'm not talking about a building with a big basement that we can play Gaga ball in it, which is awesome. I'm not against that. But that's not really what I mean when I say we have a gift in the church. I'm not talking about even just Christians having, you know, the opportunity to be a part of something special, like kind of a special club that only we're part of, or even a group of people where we have lots of friends or people that know us around us. Those are great things about the church, but that's not really what I mean. The church is a great and incredible gift. And here we see in this part of the Bible, part of why that is. It doesn't give us every reason that the church is such a great gift, but here these verses are a great place for us to look to understand why church is such a gift for Christians. Here's a big idea for you to take this morning, that the church and God's design for its leaders are a great gift to Christians. The church and God's design for its leaders is a great gift for Christians. I want you to know that church is about so much more than just a big building where we meet, where God's people, where the church meets. It's about so much more than just having a nice group of people that you get to know and belong to. It's about so much more than just having a place where you can get good donuts sometimes on Sundays. The church is a great gift. And here this morning, we're going to see why that is, part of why the church is such a gift for Christians. Let's look at 1 Peter 5, and we'll start reading from verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning and thank you for these verses that remind us of the great gift of the church. Help us to think about that clearly and see it here in your word and take that truth and respond to it. Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Being a part of the church is a gift to Christians. And here we'll see why that is. So to start, let's notice first that Christians in the church Christians receive, number one, older, wiser Christians that are ahead of us and among us. We have older, wiser Christians that are ahead of us and among us. Look at verse 1. He says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. That's kind of, we'll stop right there in verse 1 and kind of ask, like, what's going on here? What's happening here? Well, this is Peter writing. He's an older Christian, and he's writing to a bunch of other Christians in this letter. And he's been reminding these Christians about how great it is to be a Christian, to know Christ, and how we should live in this world if we are a Christian. How we should live, even if things are going to get difficult sometimes, even if there's some hard things that might come up. He's preparing Christians for how to live in this world. And here in chapter 5, he kind of takes some of the Christians, some of the elders, some of the older leaders of the church aside, and he gives some encouragement and wisdom for them. And you could just think about what this would be like to be somebody who talks with Peter or who hears from Peter. He even says there that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter was somebody who had been a Christian for a long time. He had been around Jesus when Jesus was here on earth during his ministry. And he could tell stories about what it was like to see Jesus perform incredible miracles. He saw it. He could remember how awesome Jesus' glory is. And he could remember what it was like when Jesus went to the cross. And he could remember what it was like when Jesus rose again from the dead and was alive around the disciples. He could remember what it was like to see Jesus ascend, go up into heaven. Peter was there for all of that. And he's seen how good Jesus is. And now he's going to give some words to some of the other leaders, some of the other Christians who have probably been a Christian for a long time too. What's happening there in verse 1 is that an older, wiser Christian, Peter, is talking to other older, wiser Christians in the church. Older, wiser Christian who's walked with Jesus for a long time is speaking to other wise Christians. I think we should just stop there and think about that. There's some big encouragements for us if we're Christians there. Especially that what Peter's saying for Christians about living isn't just for us to be all alone in. There's other people that are around us, that are older, that are ahead of us, that have walked with Jesus for a long time in the church. To be a Christian isn't to just be kind of on your own. Like you become a believer in Jesus and then you have to go move to a desert island and you're there by yourself with your Bible and your notebook and you're all alone and it's just you and God and you. No, to be a Christian is to have other Christians in your life. We see that here, that there's all of these Christians talking to each other and Christians who have walked with Christ for a long time. If you're a Christian, you have older, wiser Christians who've been walking with Jesus for a long time. And that's God's design for the church. That's an incredible gift that God gives in the church. Christians with other Christians, especially around other more mature Christians who can lead and guide and be an example of what it looks like to follow Jesus no matter what happens, even in difficult times. If you're a Christian, that's you. You have mature Christians around you right here in this church all the time. People who've walked with Jesus for a long time. People who can point us to God's faithfulness in the past. And I love that. I love to think about that in my own life of different people that I knew even as a kid growing up in a church who we're walking with Jesus as older, wiser people. If you're a Christian, you have that blessing, that gift in a church in your life. You have small group leaders here in exchange. You have pastors. You have parents. You have Sunday school teachers. You have some of the nice older people in our church. You have people who have walked with Jesus for a long time. People who can show you what it looks like to walk with Jesus. People who can help you. People who are there to guide you and to pray for you and to encourage you. People who are there to be an example for you if you're a Christian. You're not alone if you've been saved by Christ. You have a family, a spiritual family. You have older, wiser people in your life that God places around you. There's a verse in Hebrews 13 that says, we should remember our leaders who spoke God's word to you and consider the outcome of their faith and their way of life and then imitate them. We see where their life ends up, where it goes, where they're headed, the joy that they have, the example that they've set. And we can look at those older Christians and say, I want to imitate them. I want to follow them. I think that's a little bit of what's happening there in verse 1, that we have a great gift of having older, wiser people around us and ahead of us in our life if we're Christians. But we also notice even more specifically there that Christians in the church are given also, number 2, committed shepherds to care for us. That's point 2. You can see there in verses 2 through 4 that things get a little more specific about who these older Christians specifically are here. And that is that they're called shepherds in that first word of verse 2. They're encouraged, told to shepherd the flock of God among us. Peter's talking to the elders, verse 1. He's talking to these leaders who shepherd, these men who shepherd God's church. All of those are just words for us to think about a pastor or an elder or a shepherd, all kind of the same thing right there. And the responsibility that they have, these leaders of God's church, are kind of defined as shepherding God's flock in verse 2. That's the idea of like a shepherd who's taking care of sheep. I don't know if any of you guys like have like a sheep farm at your house. Does anybody have that? Probably not. You guys probably don't know a lot about shepherding. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's somebody who like lives in Castaic that does. I don't know. But shepherding, it's something that we're not that close around, but it's something that we could take a little bit of a guess on what it would be like. I bet if we spent some time, you could write down a few things that you would know or think that a shepherd does. A shepherd feeds sheep. He gives sheep what they need to be healthy. A shepherd protects sheep from the dangers that are around them. A shepherd can clean up sheep when they get in the mud, and he can bring them out of the dirt and the mud. A shepherd can guide and he will lead sheep to the best places for them to be. A shepherd will find a sheep if it's lost. A shepherd will do whatever he can to care for the flock of sheep. And here, this is telling us that God wants, that God's design is for leaders in his church to be like that, to be shepherds of his flock. And you can see that elders and pastors should feed the church with the word of God, with what they need to be healthy spiritually. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it talks about how Christians need food. We need God's word to help us grow in respect to our salvation. If we're going to grow to be healthy, strong, mature Christians, we need God's word taught to us. We need to be fed with God's word. And that's the most important responsibility of a spiritual leader in God's church. But leaders in God's church also should protect God's people like a shepherd. They protect God's church from lies and from things that aren't true, from dangers, from things that might seem close to what God's word says but aren't at all. They can refute, they can stop those things, they can call those things out and protect God's people. Shepherds also in God's church can clean up God's people. They can help them. They can help restore them when they sin and help them get back on the right path. Leaders in God's church, like shepherds, can guide and they can lead his church to the best places for them to be spiritually. They can help them when they're confused or they need wisdom. And they, like shepherds, can also find sheep who are lost. They are people who are evangelists. They want God's word to go into the lives of people who don't know Christ. And they want those people who are lost to be found. They want to do whatever they can to rescue and care for God's flock. And we see here that that's God's design for his church. That's what God wants, to have elders, shepherds, pastors who are committed to that work. And the way God wants it done is verse 2. It's not under compulsion, but it's voluntary. They love to do this. There's one translation of this that says that they do it not because they have to, but because they want to. Not because they have to, but because they want to. Verse 2, these pastors also care for the flock with eagerness. And verse 3 says they lead as examples. Not because they have to, but because they want to. They're eager examples. And God gives those kinds of leaders to his church. That's God's design for his church. And they all do this knowing that verse 4, that Jesus is the ultimate shepherd. He's the one who's going to appear and come back. And these shepherds aren't perfect, but there is one perfect shepherd who's coming back for his church, for his flock that he loves. I think, again, we could just kind of put the brakes on and stop there and think about what a gift it is if you're a Christian, if you're in a church, to have these kinds of people in your life, to have shepherds, examples people who want the best for you as a Christian. The longer I've been a Christian, the more I've realized what an incredible gift that is. We have great pastors, great shepherds here. I think of our pastor for so long, Pastor John. I think of what a great example he was to our church, of how he taught God's word here so faithfully, how he protected us from errors, from things that weren't right, how he led us and guided us and preached the gospel to help the lost, to help find the lost. We have leaders like that. And even now we're surrounded with leaders like that here at our church. You, if you're a Christian, have leaders like this in your life. And that is an incredible gift to have pastors who teach God's word and church you every Sunday, even since you were a little kid. To have pastors who teach God's word to you through the week. To have pastors who warn us of dangers, who can guide us to where Jesus wants us to be. To have leaders who pray for us, who want the best for you. That is an incredible gift that we find here in God's word. And I think we could even just ask, like, what are you missing out on if you're not a Christian? If you're not part of a church? If you don't have these kinds of leaders in your life? You're going on without the warnings of danger, without these warnings of danger. You're going on not wanting this kind of care or help. You're going on without older, wiser people around you who can show you how to live as a Christian, how to live in this world. God gives such an incredible gift in older, wiser Christians and in specifically these committed shepherds of the church. But last, we can also see the Christians are given a humble spiritual family that's around us. We also have a humble spiritual family around us. Verse 5 says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." Humble love for others. That's what God wants for Christian. That's what God wants for his church. Humble people, humble leaders, and humble young people who listen and follow our leaders. Everyone in the church is supposed to be clothed with humility. I kind of think of like being at winter camp and maybe you have like that one friend who brings way too many coats or jackets. Like they bring two coats for some reason and they put them on and then, you know, they put on a beanie, like a hat. They got their ears covered up and then they put on a scarf and another scarf and then a sweater on top of that all. Like they have layers and layers of clothes, almost so much that you don't even recognize them. God wants Christians to be covered with layers and layers of humility, to be known as people who just don't think of ourselves more highly than we should, to be people who have an attitude of thinking other people are more important than me, to have an attitude where we look out for other people, where we want and where we do what's best for other people around us. We're covered with humility. We need to be clothed with humility, to put it on, to forget about ourselves and to serve others around us. A church is a family who should be clothed with humility towards each other. Man, and I just think at that point you could say, don't you want to be that kind of person? Don't you want to be somebody who's not all about yourself, but who sees yourself the right way, the way God sees you? Who sees yourself humbly, and with that, who turns and serves and cares about others, not just about yourself. Don't you want to be somebody like that, somebody humble? And don't you want to be around other people like that? Don't you want to be in a church where you're surrounded by people who are a humble family, who serve each other, who are kind, who submit to each other? If you're a Christian, you know that you haven't arrived with that yet. You still have to fight pride all of the time. But here's a great encouragement for you, especially as a young Christian, to pursue humility, to pursue being like Jesus, to put on humble love for other people, to not think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but to think rightly about yourself and to serve others with humility and with love. That's what God wants for you as a Christian. It's basic Christian living, Christianity 101. Be humble. If you are a Christian, you're part of a family who is humble. But then we get that last verse, in those last few words, that last part of the sentence in verse 5, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I think that verse is especially an important word for you if you're not a Christian this morning. If you know you're not part of the church, if you know you haven't been saved by Christ, you need to know that you're in a dangerous spot where you are living in pride, where you're against God and where you're in danger because of your sin, thinking, I'm not that sinful. I don't really need Jesus to save me. If that's you, you need to humble yourself before Jesus. You need to come to him. You need to repent of your sin and call out to him for him to save you from your sin. You need to humble yourself before God. God's word says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's faithful to save people who humble themselves before Christ. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You can become part of this spiritual family who is humble. You can be welcomed into this humble spiritual family that surrounds you if you become a Christian. If you are a Christian, you are part of this family. And what a gift, what a blessing to have all of these things around you. Church is about so much more than a building. It's about so much more than just a nice club that we can belong to or a place where we get great donuts sometimes on Sunday mornings. Church is so much greater than that. It's a place where we have older, wiser Christians around us, where we have committed shepherds to care for us, and where we have a humble spiritual family who wants the best for us all the time. I was thinking about this as I was preparing for this message. Last Sunday, I walked upstairs right after exchange with one of the leaders, and he just said to me, becoming a Christian is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Becoming a Christian is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I think that's so good and so true. And if you're a Christian, you know that's true. Becoming a Christian is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. And there's so many reasons for that. There's, of course, salvation in Christ. There's eternal life. But I know that also a big part of that is that God brings you into his church. He gives you a spiritual family with older Christians ahead of you, with shepherds to guide you. He brings you into this great gift to the church. Dear Lord, we thank you for these verses that remind us of your church, remind us of what a gift it is to have your church as we live here as Christians in this world. Thank you for that gift, Lord. Thank you ultimately for the gift of your son, that whoever humbles themselves before you, who cries out to you for salvation, you will give them grace. Thank you for the gospel and for your church, Lord. In Christ's name we pray, amen.